إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Indeed the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our second session, dealing with the topic of أعظم الدعاء يعني دعاء الفاتحة, the greatest supplication, that is the supplication that's contained in Surah Al-Fatiha. In the previous session, 2 weeks ago, we basically discussed يعني the topic in general, introduction to the topic, definition of دعاء, as well as two types of دعاء يعني three ways in which dua is accepted and the virtues or the excellent superiority of dua over other acts of worship. Generally, the way that we normally do this is that we usually pass out for each session a questionnaire study guide, and those questions that are on that sheet are questions that you should be able to answer at the end of the class. Normally we answer the questions in the following session, the following week. But because of yani timing and scheduling and things like that, if we have time at the end of this session, we're going to try to answer them immediately. Otherwise, yani we'll see how it works. The topic that we're reading is actually taken from two books, both of them by the Sheikh Abdul Razak, the son of Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad Al-Badr, Hafidhahumullah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them, him and his father. We do have some copies of the Arabic text from those two books. They're limited copies, so if somebody actually is going to follow it in Arabic, then you can take a copy. Otherwise, it would be better to leave it for those who are actually able to utilize it. The book hasn't been translated, so we don't have any English translation to give you, unfortunately. But we're going to do the best we can to try to make it as clear as possible. Please try to take notes if you are able to. Yeah, so if anybody wants to take the Arabic text for the books that we're going to be reading from, just raise your hand. Imam Hanif has some copies, he's going to pass them out, inshallah. And the same thing for the sisters. If there are sisters who are studying Arabic and can benefit from the Arabic text, then upstairs, please make yourself known, and inshallah we provide some copies for the sisters as well. If there's anybody who doesn't get a copy of the Arabic text and really need it, then we're going to either send you a PDF file, if you give us your email, or maybe perhaps in the following week or so we'll try to get some more copies. We do have an attendance sheet that we normally ask you to sign so we'll know who is attending, and if you would like to receive notes and updates about the class, please give us your email address and try to write it clearly so that we can follow it. In our first session there were a couple of brothers who I couldn't understand, I couldn't get properly the email address, so I was unable to send them the notes. If anybody did give their email address in the first session and you didn't receive any notes from us, then perhaps you can give it to me again. But let me see it this time so I can ask you exactly what you have written so we won't have the same problem again. Time is running, so let us get into our subject for today. Today we're going to be reading the topic from the Shaykh, which he has entitled Makanatu al-Dua al-Warid fi Surah al-Fatiha. Makanatu al-Dua al-Warid fi Surah Al-Fatiha. Yani the station or the status of the dua that has been mentioned in Surah Al-Fatiha. The dua that has been mentioned in Surah Al-Fatiha. This dua that we're going to be talking about in the next few weeks in the sessions that follow, it is the most important, probably most beneficial, comprehensive supplication that a Muslim can supplicate with. And as we go through this topic, it will become more clear that this claim is not a claim that I'm making, but rather the scholars and the people of Sunnah are pretty much in agreement upon this reality. So the Shaykh Abdul Razak, Hafidhu Allah, may Allah protect and preserve him. He began this topic by saying, "Inna min a'zam al-adiyya al-warida wa ajma'iha lil-khair dhalikum ad-du'a al-mubarak alladhi istamalat alayhi suratul Fatiha." Afdalu sur al-Quran al-Karim fi qawlihi ihdina siratul mustaqim siratul ladhina al-amta alayhim ghayrul maghdubi alayhim walad-dhalin. Yani indeed, the greatest, the most magnificent of all supplications, is that that has come to us, and the most comprehensive or inclusive of them, of khair, of goodness, is that supplication, that blessed supplication, which is contained in Surah Al-Fatiha, which is the best surah of the Quran, of the noble Quran. And it, the supplication is contained in the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. Yani, guide us to and upon the straight path. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم, the path of those upon whom you have given your favor. غير المغضوب عليهم, not the path of those upon whom is your wrath. ولا الضالين, nor those who are astray. Yani, in this supplication, we'll be talking about it in detail. The one who supplicates with this, who recites Al-Fatiha with consciousness and awareness of what they're saying, understanding the meaning of what they're saying, and having sincerity in their heart, yani reciting it as a supplication, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is asking that Allah guide to the straight path. And then specifically, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us yani clarification of that straight path, yani the path of those upon whom He has granted His favors. And we're going to talk about that in detail. And not the path of those who His anger is upon, nor those who are astray. And I think all of us are familiar to some extent with these words in Surah Al-Fatiha. And all of us have read yani at least the translation of these words, if not some tafsir. So we know that those whom Allah's favor is upon are particular people. We know that they are particular people, that Allah mentions another ayah in the Quran. And those who Allah's anger is upon are also a particular people. And others who are following in their way are included. And those who are astray, yani dhalim, they're also a particular people, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in a hadith, and we're going to talk about all of that in some detail. After this, the Shaykh, after making this claim that this supplication is the greatest and the most magnificent of all supplications that have come to us and the most comprehensive of khair, he said, فَهَذَا دُعَاءٌ دُعَاءٌ عَظِيمٌ مُبَارَكٌ, yani that this is a supplication that is blessed and it is magnificent. بَلْ هُوَ أَنْفَعَ الدُّعَاءُ وَعَظَمُهُ, rather, not only is it blessed, not only is it magnificent, rather it is the most beneficial of all supplications and the greatest and most magnificent of them all. وَحَاجَةُ النَّاسِ إِلَيْهِ أَعَظَمْ مِنْ حَاجَتِهِمْ إِلَى سَعْرِ الْعَدِيَةِ, the need of the people, their need for this dua is greater than their need for all other supplications. And I know some of us might think this is an amazing statement, and especially if you have read some of the authentic supplications of the Prophet ﷺ on different occasions, supplications that he made in the morning and in the evening and on certain events and occasions. We know that there are so many, many, multiple, beautiful, wonderful, comprehensive, beneficial supplications. And therefore, how can this be? Yani, how can a person be more in need of this supplication than any other supplication? That's going to be our topic that we're going to be discussing tonight and in the weeks that follow. He said, وَلِهَذَا أُمِرُوا, yani the fact that the people are more in need of this than any other supplication, for that reason, أُمِرُوا بِالدُّعَى بِهِ فِي كُلِّ رَكَعَةٍ مِنْ صَلَاتٍ. Since the people are more in need of this supplication than any other one, for that reason, they have been commanded, they, meaning the Muslims, have been commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani, to supplicate with it in every rak'ah of prayer. In every rak'ah of prayer. Whether it is obligatory prayer or voluntary prayer, in every rak'ah of prayer, Allah has commanded us to recite, yani, to supplicate with this supplication. فَالْمُسْلِمْ يَقُولُهُ فِي كُلِّ يَوْمٍ سَبَعَةَ عَشْرَ مَرَّةً فَرْضًا وَاجِبًا وَلَمْ يَكُنْ مِثْلَ هَذَا لِأَيِّ دُعَاءٍ آخَ. So the Muslim, the one who has surrendered himself to Allah, he says this supplication, he recites it every day, at least 17 times. as a compulsory obligation, farzan wajiban. Yani, a Muslim is reciting this supplication more than 17 times a day, but at least 17 times it's obligatory. Yani, it's mandatory, compulsory that a person recite this at least 17 times a day. And if we're reciting it in our sunnah prayers and in other voluntary prayers, then it's going to be much more than 17 times. He says, وَلَمْ يَكُنْ مِثْلَ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ مِثْلُ هَذَا لِأَيِّ دُعَانْ آخَرٍ. Yani, the likes of this importance has not been given to any other supplication. Yani, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not commanded us to recite, to supplicate with any other supplication that came in the Quran, nor that came in the authentic sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He hasn't commanded us to recite them 17 times a day. And this is a clear indication of the importance of this supplication that Allah has ordered us. He hasn't suggested, he didn't recommend, rather he has commanded us. Yani, it is obligatory, fard, wajib, that we recite it at least 17 times a day, meaning in every rak'ah of the five obligatory prayers. This is what Shaykh Abdul Razak begins with in his introduction, and then he quotes a somewhat lengthy quotation from Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, in which Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah says, وَلِهَذَا كَانَ أَنْفَى الدُّعَى وَعَظَمُهُ وَأَحْكَمُهُ دُعَى الْفَاتِحَى. For this reason, the most beneficial supplication and the greatest of them and the most precise of them is the dua of Surah Al-Fatiha. اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطُ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ نَعْمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ غَيْرُ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِينَ. فَإِنَّهُ إِذَا هَدَاهُ هَذَا الصِّرَاطِ أَعَانَهُ عَلَى طَاعَتِهِ وَتَرْكِ مَعَسِيَتِهِ فَلَمْ يُسِبْهُ شَرٌ لَا فِي الدُّنْيَا وَلَا فِي الْآخِرَةِ. Yani, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah is saying here, due to the great benefit of this supplication and its magnificence and its preciseness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if He guides somebody, yani in answer to this supplication, if He guides someone to this straight path that's mentioned in this supplication, then He will also help that person. He will aid them. He will support them in obedience to Him and in avoiding disobedience to Him. Yani, if Allah guides somebody to this path, Allah Himself will help you to be obedient to Him, and He will help you to avoid disobedience to Him if He guides you to this path. And in that case, that person who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guided to this path and along this path, they will not be afflicted with evil, not in this world nor in the next life. لَكِنَّ الذُّنُوبُ هِيَ مِنْ لَوَازِمُ نَفْسَ الْإِنسَانِ وَهُوَ مُحْتَاجٌ إلى الهدى في كل لحظة وهو إلى الهدى أحوج منه إلى الأكل والشرب وليس كما يقول طائفة من المفسرين إنه قد هداه فلماذا يسأل الهدى وإن المراد بسؤال الهدى الثبات أو مزيد الهداية. يعني شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية, he says here that if Allah guides somebody to this path, then He will help them to be obedient to Him and to avoid disobedience to Him. And in that case, the person will not be afflicted with evil, not in this world and the next life. However, it is from those things that are a necessity for the human being that they will fall into sin. Yani, sin is inescapable. كُلُّ بَانِ عَادٌ قَطَّعُونَ. Every human being makes mistakes. There's no person who is free from this. Whether it is major or minor, every human being is subject to err, to make mistakes, to commit sins. And for this reason, the human being is in need of guidance every single moment of one's life. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah says, the human being is more in need of guidance than he is in need of food and drink. Yani, meaning that if a person didn't have food, nobody denies the need for food and drink, right? But if a person didn't have food or drink, the only thing that's going to happen is that they're going to die. But everybody's going to die. There's no escape from that, right? If a person doesn't have guidance, they might live a little while by eating and drinking, but in the end, in the next life, it's going to be destruction. So which one is the greater need? Everybody's going to die. Whether you have food or drink or not, everybody's going to die. But everybody's not going to be in the hellfire. Some people are going to be saved from that by the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for this reason, our need for guidance is greater than our need for food and drink. If we recognize that we need to eat and to drink, and that this is very important, and Allah has made the natural instinct in the human being to eat and drink, our need for guidance is more than that, is greater than that. It's more important than that, by far. There's no comparison. He said, the human being is in need of this guidance more than they're in need of eating and drinking. And it is not, as some group of the scholars of tafsir have said, yani, some scholars, when they read this, they said, إِنَّهُ قَدْ هَدَاهُ. Yani, Allah has already guided this person. Yani, the Muslim, who's already accepted Islam, Allah has already guided him. So why is he still asking for guidance? Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah says, it's not like that. Yani, that you have already been guided, therefore you don't need guidance anymore. Rather, what is intended here in إِحْدِنَا الصِّرَاطُ الْمُسْتَقِيمُ for the person who's already on the straight path, who's already accepted Islam. What is intended here is that this asking for guidance is asking for al-thabat. Yani, that a person, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable a person to remain firm, to be steadfast upon the straight path. Because how many times have we seen a person accept Islam, begin to pray and fast and practice Islam? Or maybe they were born in a Muslim family, and for some point in their life, especially while they're young, right, they're following what their parents said and they're obeying, yani, the rules and the guidelines and practicing Islam, and then they went astray. So what we're asking for here is not just to be guided to the straight path, rather more than that. Once we're on that path, to give us a thabat, to remain firm, to be steadfast upon that path until by the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we reach the destination. We'll return to our Lord in a condition in which we will be pleasing to Him and pleasing to Him. We'll be pleased with Him and pleasing to Him by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is intended is al-thabat, and or what may be intended is mazid al-hidayah. Yani, that a person has been given some guidance and they're asking for what? More guidance. Because when you entered Islam, you had some guidance, right? You know that Islam is the right way. You know, you've been told you have to pray 5 times a day and certain things that you have to do, but you still need more guidance, right? Every one of us is reading the Quran, inshallah, every single day, seeking what? More guidance. We're studying the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, seeking more guidance. Until a person returns to Allah, we will always be in need, every single day, every moment of our life, of guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaykh al-Islam continues to say, بَلَ الْعَبْدُ مُحْتَاجُ إِلَى أَنْ يُعَلِّمَهُ رَبُّهُ مَا يَفْعَلُهُ مِنْ تَفَاصِيلِ أَحْوَالِهِ وَإِلَى مَا يَتَوَلَّدُ مِنْ تَفَاصِيلِ الْأُمُورِ فِي كُلِّ يَوْمٍ. And here he mentions 3 things of great importance, and this is the first of them. He said, rather the human being is not just in need of remaining firm, is not just in need of more guidance, rather the human being is in need of Allah granting him knowledge, teaching him, his Rabb teaching him what he must do, what he should do in every situation or circumstance. In every situation that we're in every circumstance, we're in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving us knowledge of how we're supposed to act, what we're supposed to do. And more than that, he said, وَإِلَى مَا يَتَوَلَّدُ مِنْ تَفَاصِيلِ الْأُمُورِ فِي كُلِّ يَوْمٍ. Yani, knowledge of what the person should do in the specific affairs that happen in one's life every single day. Yani, generally, in every situation or circumstance, we need Allah to teach us, to give us knowledge of how, what we're supposed to do. And specifically, in the events that take place throughout the day, throughout our lives, every single day, yani, the things that, the affairs that we are dealing with, we need guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us. This is the first thing, yani, knowledge of what we're supposed to do, how we're supposed to act. وَالْعَبْدُ مُحْتَاجُ إِلَى أَنْ يَجْعَلَهُ اللَّهُ قَادِرًا عَلَى الْعَمَلِ بِذَلِكَ الْإِرَادَةِ الصَّالِحَةِ. Likewise, the human being is in need that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable him, make him able to act upon the righteous intention that he may have. I'm sorry, I skipped the line here. Is anybody following us in Arabic? Help me, please. First of all, I can't see good. Even though I'm wearing these glasses, they're not helping me that much. And the brothers, and who know, you know that I always ask you to please help me. Don't let me stumble along. It's good that you help me. So anyway, he said here first that we have to have knowledge of how we should act. وَإِلَىٰ أَنْ يُلْهَمَ and ya'mal dhalika. And also that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspire that person, yani, inspire that person to act upon the knowledge that he has. Yani, people have knowledge, but they might not act upon it. So we need Allah to place in our hearts, yani, the desire, the intent to act upon the knowledge, yani, the guidance that he has given to us. فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَكْفِي. The lighting in this corner right here is poor, really. Malish. It's okay, I'll survive though. I'll make it. بِيَذِنِ اللَّهِ. فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَكْفِي. That's better. MashaAllah. That helps a lot. MashaAllah. فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَكْفِي. I can't see good, really. I have problems seeing, so this light helps a lot. فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَكْفِي مُجَرَّد عِلْمِهِ إِن لَمْ يَجْعَلْهُ اللَّهُ مُرِيدًا لِلْعَمَلِ بِعِلْمِهِ. Yani, it's not sufficient that a person simply has knowledge if Allah doesn't place in him the desire, the intent to act upon his knowledge. So what is the benefit of that knowledge? Didn't the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say in the hadith, this reported by Imam Muslim, and a long hadith, and the end of it he said, Al-Quran hujjatun, anybody help me? Laka. أو عليك يا أبو بكر جزاك الله خير. القرآن حجة لك أو عليك. The Quran will be a proof for you, against you. It will be a proof for you if you read the Quran and you get the knowledge, you act upon it. It will be a proof for you يوم القيامة. But if you read it, if you get the knowledge and you don't act upon it, يوم القيامة will be against. It will be a proof against you. It will be حجة against you that you knew and you didn't do. So here the Shaykh Islam Taymiyyah is saying it's not sufficient that you just be given knowledge, but rather the person is in need of Allah placing in them the desire, the intent to act upon that knowledge. وَإِلَّا كَانَ الْعِلْمُ حُجَّ عَلَيْهِ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ مُحْتَدِيًا. Otherwise, this knowledge that a person has will just be a proof against them, and they will not be considered as one who has been rightly guided. Just by having knowledge, we cannot say that a person is guided just because they have knowledge if they're not acting upon it, right? So a person is in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to place in their heart the desire, the intent to act upon the knowledge that they have. Well, abd muhtaj, that's the second thing. Yani, that a person has the irada, the will, the desire to act upon the knowledge that they have. Then he says, well, abd muhtaj ila an yaj'alahu Allah qadiran 'ala al-'amal bi tilka al-irada as-salihah. Then the person is also in need that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make him able to act upon that righteous intention. Person has knowledge, Allah placed in their heart the intent to act upon it. Now, that's good too, right? But having an intent to do something and being able to do is another thing altogether. How many of us have good intentions to do something we're not able to do? Maybe a person sees somebody who is in need and they need some money and they want to help, but they look in their pockets, empty. Good intent. Allah rewards intention, but to actually act upon it, you have to have the ability. And it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who enables a person to be able to act upon the good intent that they have. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who enables you to do that. So these are three things that we need of knowledge. We need of having in our heart a desire to act upon that knowledge, and then Allah granting us the ability, the qudra, the ability to act upon it. فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَكُونُ مُحْتَدِيًا إِلَى الصِّرَاطِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ صِرَاطِ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين إلا بهذه العلوم والإرادات والقدرة على ذلك. Here Shaykh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah says, so a person would not be considered as rightly guided to the straight path, the path of those whom Allah has, who Allah has given His favor to. And here he mentions, yani, from the ayat in the Quran, that those who Allah has granted His favor upon are the prophets and the siddiqeen, the truthful, and the shuhada, the martyrs, and the salihin, the righteous. These are the people who Allah's favors upon. These are the people of Siratul Mustaqim. That we are asking to be upon the Siratul Mustaqim of who? The path that the prophets are upon. And the path that the, yani, truthful are upon. Those who are truthful in speech and their actions match their speech. Because some people might be truthful, man. They tell the truth, they say, yani, what's really the truth? They talk about Islam and they say things that are true, but then they don't act upon it. Yani, the siddiqeen, yani, is known from who is a Siddiq? Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr is Siddiq. Why is he a Siddiq? Because he didn't just speak the truth, he acted upon what he said. Yani, he believed in the truth in his heart, he spoke it on his tongue, and then he acted upon it. We want to be on the path of the prophets, and the truthful, and the martyrs, and the righteous. Shaykh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah says, then a person will not be considered rightly guided to the straight path, the path of those who Allah's favors upon, yani from amongst the prophets and the truthful and the martyrs and the righteous, illa bihadhihi al-ulum, except that they have these yani branches of knowledge, the knowledge yani the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wal iradat, and righteous intentions, wal qudra, and the ability to act upon them. ويدخل في ذلك من أنواع الحاجات ما لا يمكن إحصاؤه. And we're going to talk about this later on. But those hajat, the needs of the people for guidance in every situation or circumstance, include more than what can be enumerated. Yani, every situation or circumstance that we are in need of guidance for, we can't even enumerate them. Later on, the Shaykh will talk about a little bit of that يعني in the following sessions. وَلِهَذَا كَانَ النَّاسِ مَعْمُورِينَ بِهَذَا الدُّعَاءِ فِي كُلِّ صَلَاتٍ لِفَرْطِ حَاجَتِهِمْ إِلَيْهِ. So it is for this reason that the people have been commanded with this supplication, يعني to recite it in every salat, rather in every rak'ah of every salat, due to their dire need of this guidance that we are asking for in this supplication in Surah Al-Fatiha. فَلَيْسُ إِلَى شَيْءٍ أَحْوَجَ مِنْهُمْ إِلَى هَذَا الدُّعَاءِ. So they, yani the people, the Muslims, all people, are not in need of anything as much as they are in need of this dua. وَإِنَّمَا يَعْرِفُ بَعْدَ قَدْرَ هَذَا الدُّعَاءِ مَنْ اَتَّبَرَ أَحْوَالَ نَفْسِهِ وَنُفُوسَ الْإِنْسِ وَالْجِنِ وَالْمَأْمُورِينَ بِهَذَا الدُّعَاءِ. Yani here, Shaykh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, this is the end of what he quotes him here saying. He said that the only one who will have some idea, to some extent, يَعْرِفُ بَعْدَ قَدْرَ, to some extent know the value and worth of this supplication, the only ones who really understand how important this is the one who considers أَحْوَالِ نَفْسِهِ, looks at his own self. Look at, yani be truthful, examine your own self, look at your condition, and how you act, what you say, what you do, what you're thinking. The one who really takes a serious inventory of oneself and looks as well at the other people, the ins and jinn, all of those who are commanded with this dua, look at the condition of the creatures, yourself and other people and created beings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, and sees, and that person who looks at this, who considers these things, وَعَرَى مَا فِي نُفُوسِ مِنَ الْجَهَلِ وَالظُّلْمِ الَّذِي يَقْتَضِي شَقَاءَهَا فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ, then that person will see in the human beings, in oneself and in others, the ignorance and the dhulm, the injustice, which justifies, rather necessitates, shaqa'aha, yani that a person be in a wretched condition, meaning that a person will be of those who will not be successful in the next life, and who will not enter the paradise. This will necessitate that. When you look at the ignorance of the people and look at yani the dhulm that's taken place among the created beings, then you will know that this would necessitate, certainly it would justify the punishment that people will receive in this world and in the next life. فَيَعْلَمُ, in that case the person then, after looking at this, فَيَعْلَمُ أَنَّ اللَّهَ بِفَضْلِهِ وَرَحْمَتِهِ جَعْلَ هَذَا الدُّعَاءَ مِنْ أَعْظَمِ الْأَسْبَابِ الْمُقْتَدِيَةِ لِلْخَيْرِ الْمَانِيَةِ مِنْ الشَّرِّ. In that case, the person would then come to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, due to his fadl and his rahmah, yani not because he's obligated to do so, but because of his bounty and his favor, his kindness and his mercy, due to that, for that reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this dua a means, yani the greatest of all means, that would guarantee a person reaching all goodness and restricting a person from evil. Yani this dua will be the means that will help you to do good, and it will be the means that will prevent you from doing evil. If you recite it with sincerity from your heart, knowing what you are saying, believing it, saying it consciously, being conscious, not like we do now. I'm saying we, because I include myself, there's no doubt about it. Sometimes it's a struggle to concentrate in the salat when you're reciting Al-Fatiha with consciousness and awareness of the words that you're saying. Because our minds drift, and we get distracted by the littlest of things. Yani somebody rides by with some music, and we get distracted. somebody's phone goes off, it's a distraction. Allah, our phone should not be on in the masjid. That's not my view. That's the view of major scholars in the, of the people of Sunnah today. Say a person shouldn't come in the masjid with a telephone. If you do, you have to turn it off. We can't allow people to disrupt the masjid. People are worshiping the masjid during the prayer. People making dhikr, dua outside of the prayer. And phones are going off. And music is playing. And other stuff. I say stuff. Because I don't know what kind of word could be comprehensive enough to cover the things that are coming from these telephones. These distractions distract us. And for that reason, the best of us, and I don't know which one of you is the best of us, but whoever is the best of us, as human beings, we are all distracted. So it is a struggle that we have to work at in order that we recite this supplication so we get the benefit of it, that we recite it with consciousness and awareness and sincerity and understanding of what we are saying. It is that important. This is a struggle that we have to make. Listen to what the Shaykh says here. This is, I don't know how much time we have. I should be paying attention to the time. We don't have plenty of time. We do not have plenty of time. No, we do not have plenty of time. Wallahu musta'an. Okay. So the Shaykh, he says here, وَمَعَ مَا لِهَذَا الدُّعَاءِ الْعَظِيمِ مِنْ مَكَانَةٍ وَقَدْرٍ إِلَّا أَنَّ كَثِيرًا مِنَ النَّاسِ كَثِيرًا مِنَ النَّاسِ قد يقرأ هذا الدعاء في سورة الفاتحة دون أن يستشير أنه دعاء. In spite of the high station, status, worth and value of this magnificent supplication, nonetheless there are many from amongst the people who recite this دعاء in سورة الفاتحة in Salat دون أن يستشير, without even feeling, being conscious or aware that it is a دعاء. We are reciting this, and maybe we're not even thinking that this is a dua. We're just reciting al-Fatiha. Do you think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers the dua of the person who's calling on him without even being aware that they're calling on him? And you have to be saying that I'm calling on my Lord. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm asking you for something. If you're not conscious of what you're saying, it's like a person who's drunk. Or majnoon. They don't know what they're saying. And some of us, when we recite al-Fatiha, we also don't know what we're saying. We're not conscious, we're not aware. There's a hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Shaykh al-Albani, said that it's hasan. He said, "Udu Allah muqinun bil ijaba. Fa inna Allah la yastajib, wa antum muqinun bil ijaba." Na'am. Fa inna Allah la yastajibu du'a min qalbin ghafilin lahin. Because indeed, call upon Allah with certainty that He's going to answer. Being sure, not having any doubt that Allah is going to answer. Because He said, call on me and I will answer you. So there's no doubt that He's going to answer. As we mentioned two weeks ago. Allah said He called on me, I will answer. He will definitely answer. But you have to call Allah with certainty, not having any doubt that He's going to answer. And then He said, Allah doesn't answer the dua from the heart that is ghafil. Lahin. The heart that is unmindful, that is inattentive. That's not paying attention to what they're saying. It's just words coming out. The Shaykh, he said here, in spite of the high status of this supplication, there are many people who are reciting it without having any realization or consciousness or awareness that it is even a dua. فَمَا أَحْوَجَ أَوَامَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ إِلَى التَّنْبِيهِ إِلَى أَنَّ هَذَا دُعَاءٌ عَظِيمٌ إِنَّ هَذَا دُعَاءٌ عَظِيمٌ أَمَرَ الرَّبُّ عز وجل عباده أن يدعوه به. So, oh how great is the need of the masses, the common people from amongst the Muslims, to bringing to their attention, to making them aware that this is a magnificent, great supplication that our Rabb, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has commanded His worshippers to supplicate Him with it. Allah has commanded us to supplicate to Him with it. Qala Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah, فَإِذَا تَأَمَّلَ الْعَبْدُ هَذَا وَعَلِمَ أَنَّهُ نِصْفَانِ نِصْفٌ لِلَّهِ وَهُوَ أَوَّلُهَا إِلَى قَوْلِهِ إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَنِصْفٌ لِلْعَبْدِ دُعَاءٌ يَدْعُو بِهِ لِنَفْسِهِ وَتَأَمَّلَ أَنَّ الَّذِي عَلَّمَهُ هَذَا هُوَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى وَأَمَرَهُ أَنْ يَدْعُوَ بِهِ ويكرره في كل ركعة، وأنه سبحانه من فضله وكرمه ضمن إجابة هذا الدعاء، ضمن إجابة هذا الدعاء إذا دعاه بإخلاص وحضور القلب، تبين له ما أضاء أكثر الناس. يعني if الإمام محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله says, if a person reflects, contemplates upon this affair, the affair of this supplication, and he knows that this يعني meaning Surah Al-Fatiha is divided into two halves. So he's talking about Surah Al-Fatiha. One half of it is for Allah, and that is from the beginning of the surah to his saying Iyaka Na'budu, to the half of that ayah Iyaka Na'budu, from the beginning of the surah Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim Maliki Yawm Al-Din. Yani these three ayahs are praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani extolling and glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then there's a middle ayah that's shared between the servant and Allah, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in the hadith from Allah, hadith Qudsi. And then the last part of it, yani ihdina sirat al-mustaqim sirat al-ladhina al-amta alayhim and ghayru maghdubi alayhim wa al-dalin. These three yani are supplications for the person. If a person understands this, that this is divided, that this surah is divided into half, two halves. One half, the first half of it is for Allah, and the second half of it is for the servant. And the middle ayat is shared. Yani iyyaka na'budu is for Allah, wa iyyaka nasta'in is for the servant. Yani we are worshiping Allah alone. We are declaring that we worship Allah alone, and then we are also asking Allah, yani stating that we depend upon Him alone, asking for His help and assistance. The second part is the dua that a person supplicates for themselves with. If a person reflects upon this, contemplates this matter, and understands that this surah is divided into two parts, and the second part is for the servant's supplication that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us to supplicate for ourselves with, and the person contemplates upon the fact that the one who has taught this supplication to us, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself. And He is the one who has commanded us to supplicate with it. And He has commanded us to repeat it in every rak'ah of every prayer. And if a person reflects upon the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is from His bounty and His generosity and His kindness, due to that, He has guaranteed the answer to this supplication. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, due to His bounty and His favor upon us and His kindness, He has guaranteed the answer to this supplication. If a person supplicates to Him with this supplication, the Shaykh says, يعني with the condition إذا دعاه بإخلاص وحضور القلب. يعني if the person supplicates to Allah with sincerity, with إخلاص and حضور القلب, يعني that their heart is present, meaning they are conscious, aware, attentive of what they are saying. If a person supplicates to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with this dua, having sincerity in their heart and presence of heart and mind, Allah has guaranteed that He will answer. If a person reflects on these things, it will become very clear to what extent many of the people have lost out on this. Because maybe many people are not supplicating to Allah with this supplication with consciousness and awareness, with presence of heart and mind, with sincerity. Mm. And therefore they have lost out. And maybe we're reciting this supplication every day, 17 or 20 or 30 or 40 times a day, but getting no benefit. Like the person who's praying, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that prayer prevents a person from evil and indecency. But people are praying, as Shaykh al-Uthaymeen said, people are praying, rahimahullah, and then after the prayer they're going around doing evil and indecency. Because it's not any yani going up and down motions, it's the prayer that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed, according to the sunnah, with sincerity and presence of heart and mind, that actually affects a person's heart, moves their heart, and enables them to then change their behavior. And this dua is answered when a person has sincerity and presence of heart and mind. Allahu musta'an. Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah said, the Shaykh says, وَقَالَ رَحِمُهُ اللَّهُ فِي رِسَالَةِ لَطِيفَةً عَظِيمَةً عَظِيمَ النَّفَعَ فِي مَا يَنْبَغِي لِلْمُعَلَّمِ أَنْ يُعَلِّمَهُ يعني أن يَعْلَمُهُ. He said in that, in a very yani small essay that Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab wrote, a great essay of great benefit, concerning that which is incumbent upon the teacher to know, what the teacher must know. He said, وَمِنْ أَعْظَمْ مَا تُنَبِّهُ عَلَيْهِ. From the greatest, most important of all affairs that should be brought to the attention, yani the teacher should bring to the attention of their student, is التَدَرُّعُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. Yani calling upon Allah, supplicating Allah, imploring Allah humbly and submissively. وَالنَّصِيحَ, yani he means here al-ikhlas and sincerity. وَإِحْضَارُ الْقَلْبِ, and causing one's heart to be attentive to what one is saying in the dua of al-fatiha إِذَا صَلَّى, when a person is praying. Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul-Wahhab rahimahullah, he said, from amongst the most important things that a teacher should bring to the attention of their students is the necessity when a person is praying, reciting al-fatiha and this dua, the necessity of what? Humbly, submissively calling upon Allah, imploring Allah, begging Allah with sincerity and consciousness, presence of heart and mind. This is important that the teacher bring to the attention of their student. And it's important that every Muslim be aware of this. And then the Shaykh says after this, and oh how great is the need, likewise, إِلَى تَعَقُّلْ مَعَنَاهُ وَفَهْمِ دَلَالَتِهِ وَمَعْرِفَةِ كَمَالْ هَذَا الدُّعَاءَ الْمُبَارَكُ وَجَمْعِهِ لِخَيْرِ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ وَأَنَّهُ مِنْ أَجْمَعِ الْأَدْعِيَةِ وَأَنْفَعُهَا. لِلْعَبْدِ. He said, oh how great then also is the need for the human being, for the Muslim, yani, to comprehend, intellectually comprehend the meaning of this surah, and to understand the things that it points to, its indications, and to know the perfection of this blessed supplication, and how it combines the good of this world and the hereafter. Yani this supplication combines the good. Sometimes we supplicate to Allah for the things of this world, right? We want good health, we want wealth, we want like different things. And then sometimes, yani we supplicate for that which is more important, and both of them, yani we should ask for, right? As Allah taught us in the Quran, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَا وَقِنَا عَذَابِنَا. We should ask for the good of this world and the good of the hereafter. This supplication combines within it the good of this world and the good of the hereafter, and that it is the most comprehensive of the supplications and the most beneficial of them for the abd. وَلِهَذَا وَجَبَ عَلَى الْمُسْلِمِ أَنْ يَدْعُوا اللَّهَ بِهِ فِي كُلِّ رَكَعَةٍ مِنْ صَلَاتِهِ لِدُرُورَتِهِ إِلَى هَذَا الدُّعَاءَ الْجَامِعَ الْمُبَارَكَةَ. So it is incumbent upon the Muslim to supplicate to Allah with this supplication every rak'ah of his prayer, due to the dire need or the necessity of supplicating with this blessed comprehensive supplication. We have a long way to go. How much time before the adhan? What time is the iqamah? How far from now? 25 minutes. Oh. I'm not going to take 25 minutes, that's for sure. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. But anyway, let's try to finish a little bit more quickly. And here the Shaykh, he says, he talks about this point of this supplication combining the good of this world and the hereafter. He said that Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah has made clear how it is that this supplication combines between the good of this world and the next life. He said, as far as it, yani combining within it the khair of the akhirah, the good of the akhirah, fawadih. Yani he said that this supplication yani combines the good of the world, this world and the hereafter. How is it that it has good for in the next life? It is that yani we're asking Allah to guide us to the straight path, the path of those people who are going to be in Jannah, the prophets and the truthful and the righteous and the martyrs. So it's clear, yani the good of the akhirah, meaning that this supplication will enable a person to enter the Jannah with the people who Allah promised Jannah to. So he said that's clear, that doesn't require a lot of discussion. But how does it contain good for the dunya? What is the good of the dunya in Ihdina Siratul Mustaqeem? Al-Imam Muhammad ibn al-Wahhab, he says, as far as it's combining the good of this world, it is because Allah the Most High has said, وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْقُرَىٰ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوْا لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. That if the people of the towns had believed and observed taqwa, we would definitely have opened upon them the barakat, the blessings from the heavens and the earth. Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir rahimahullah, in the tafsir of this ayat, he He says a number of things, but the summary of it, he said, if they had believed, meaning that their hearts believed and testified to the truthfulness of what had come by way of the messengers, and then they followed the messengers. If their hearts had believed in the truthfulness they came to and they followed them, وَاتَّقَوْا, and they observed taqwa, yani by doing the acts of obedience that they called to and abandoning the prohibited things that they prohibited. If they had done so, and not just the claim of iman and taqwa, but rather their hearts believed in it, and they followed the messengers, and they acted upon it, and they fulfilled the commands, and they avoided the prohibitions, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we would definitely have opened access to them, to the barakat, the blessings of the heavens and the earth. Mm-hmm. Yani Ibn Kathir says, yani the rain that comes from the sky, and the crops that come up from the earth. Mm-hmm. Yani the sustenance that a person needs in this world would have been open to them. This is Surah Al-A'raf, 7th Surah, 96th Ayah. And here he says, the Shaykh says, وَالْإِيمَانِ وَالْتَقْوَى هُوَ صِرَاطُ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Yani having iman, that iman that's mentioned in this ayah, and the taqwa that's mentioned in this ayah, this is the straight path. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah has informed us that this is the sabab. Yani having iman and taqwa is the reason or the cause of the blessings to be accessible from the heavens and from the earth to the person of iman and taqwa. This is the, he said, this is the rizq, the sustenance. As far as the other part of what comes from this supplication, yani of being guided to the straight path, yani he said the nasr, amma fil nasr. So what else in this world is the khair of this world besides provisions? Yani success, victory, overcoming, yani taking power in the earth. And nasr, victory. فَقَدْ قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Surah Al-Munafiqun, 63rd Surah, 8th Ayah. That Allah, in an ayat, this is just part of the ayat, he said that indeed Al-Izzah belongs to Allah and to His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to the people of Iman. Mm-hmm. Some of the scholars of tafsir said that يعني Al-Izzah, it means Al-Ghalaba, Al-Ulu, Wal-Zuhur. Yani that you would overcome, that you would be uppermost, that you would be the authority in the land. Mm-hmm. Who is this for, Al-Izzah? It's for Allah and His Messenger, and the people of Iman. So in this ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed us that Al-Izzah, yani Al-Ghalaba, Al-Ulu, Wa-Zuhur, will be achieved through Iman. And this is the straight path. So if a person achieves this, Al-Izzah wa Nasr, yani honor and glory in the land, and power and authority, and they also achieve the opening of the blessings of the heavens and the earth, فَهَذَا خَيْرُ الدُّنْيَا. This is the khair of the dunya that's achieved yani by this supplication of Surah Al-Fatiha. And then the Shaykh, yani I think this is the last point that he makes here, he said, and so the best of what will open up for the Muslim the door of understanding this chapter of the Quran and that which it contains, yani this comprehensive, magnificent, great supplication, from the best of what opens the door of understanding of this surah is what has been narrated by Imam Muslim in his Sahih, in the Sahih of Imam Muslim, in the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. He said, سَمِعْتُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَقُولُ, I heard the Messenger of Allah صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ saying, قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى, yani hadith Qudsi, yani Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he said, I heard the Messenger of Allah saying that Allah said. This hadith, yani this hadith Qudsi, the Shaykh is saying that this is from the best of what will open a person, yani enable a person to understand this surah, its importance and its meanings, its indications. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, قال الله تعالى, قَسَمْتُ الصَّلَاةِ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ عَبْدِي نِصْفَيْنِ, I have divided the salat. Yani here he said salat, right? Most of the scholars of the Sunnah said as-salat here means al-Fatiha, Surah Al-Fatiha. And it means Surah Al-Fatiha. The proof of that is what follows. It's crystal clear that he's talking about Al-Fatiha, because the only thing he mentions here is Al-Fatiha. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I have divided the salat, meaning Surah Al-Fatiha, baini wa baina abdi, in two halves, between me and between my abd, my worshipper. We normally say slave or servant. Yani, an abid is yani more appropriate here. Allah is talking about the one who's praying to him. He said, I have divided between myself and my worshipper into two halves. وَلِعَبْدِي مَا سَعَلَ. This is a promise from Allah. And my servant will have what he asked for. Allah is promising us from the very beginning. And my servant will have what he asked for. And Allah said, call upon me, I will answer you, right? Here he's re-emphasizing that. My servant will have what he asked for. فَإِذَا قَالَ الْعَبْدِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. So if the abd says, the praise belongs to Allah, the رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. قَالُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. Allah responds to him. Yani when you say these words, yani it's like you, as some of the scholars said, you're in a conversation with your Rabb. And that's what we should be thinking about when we're reciting Al-Fatiha. That we're in communion, in conversation with رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. When you say Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Allah, He responds to you. He's talking back to you. He says, Hamidani Abdi, my servant has praised me. Wa idha qala Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. And if you go on to continue praising Him, saying that He is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, yani the one whose mercy is for all of the creation in this life and the next, and the one whose mercy, yani Rahim, is just for the believers in the next life. If you say that, you praise Allah with these words, qala Allah Ta'ala, Athna alayya Abdi. My servant has extolled me. Yani excessive praise and admiration for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِذَا قَالَ مَالِكِ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ قَالَ مَجَّدَنِي عَبْدِي. So when you say, yani praising Allah with these words, that He is مَالِكِ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ, then Allah says, my servant has glorified me. وَقَالَ مَرَّ فَوَّضَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي. And in another time he said, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say that my servant had left the affair to me. Yani meaning on Yawm Al-Qiyamah, the affair will be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I leave myself in the hands of Allah. وَإِذَا قَالَ إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. And if the servant says, you alone do we worship and you alone do we seek help from, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هَذَا بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ عَبْدِي وَلِعَبْدِي مَا سَعَلَ. Here I just want to note quickly that the three statements before that, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Yani and Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawm Al-Din, these are three statements, all of them are for Allah. And this ayat, Allah says, when a person says, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ, Allah says, هَذَا بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ عَبْدِي. This ayat is between me and my worshipper. وَلِعَبْدِي مَا سَعَلَ. And again, Allah repeats, guaranteeing. And for my abd is whatever he asks for. Yani whatever we ask for from the things that are permissible and lawful. فَإِذَا قَالَ اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ غَيْرُ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِينَ. قَالَ هَذَا لِعَبْدِي وَلِعَبْدِي مَا سَعَلَ. Allah says, this one is for my abd exclusively. This is the one that is exclusively for you. This is the one that really we should be paying close and careful attention to. He said, هَذَا لِعَبْدِي exclusively وَلِعَبْدِي مَا سَعَلَ. Third time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, my servant will have what he asked for. And this is a tremendous hadith and it requires any sessions in and of itself, but we don't have time for that now. فَإِذَا تَعَمَّلَ ذَلِكَ الْعَبْدِ وَعَلِمَ مَشْتَمَلَ عَلَيْهِ هَذِهِ السُّورَةِ مِنَ الثَّنَاءَ عَلَى اللَّهِ وَتَعَظِيمِهِ وَمَا تَضَمَّنَتْهُ مِنْ دُعَاءٍ وَسُؤَالٍ وَطَلَبٍ مِنَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَأَيْقَنَ بِإِجَابَةِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ لَهُ تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ عَظِيمُ نَفْعِهَا وَأَثَرِهَا وَكَثْرَةُ فَوَاعِدِهَا وَأَوَادِهَا. So if a person reflects upon this, yani what came in this yani hadith, and knows, comes to know what it contains, what this surah contains of praise and glorification and exaltation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the beginning of it, and that it contains a, yani what it contains of dua, supplication, and su'al, asking, and talab, yani requesting from Allah Azza wa Jalla. If a person is aware of this, وَأَيْكَنَ بِإِجَابَةِ اللَّهِ لَهُ, and they know, they are certain that Allah is going to answer to them, it will become clear the greatness of the benefit of this supplication and its effect, and the abundance of its advantages and benefits and gains that will come from this supplication. The Shaykh said, so, فَإِذَا قَالَ. So then, as a result of that, this is the last thing that the Shaykh says. So in that case, if a person becomes aware of this, so إِذَا قَالَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. So when a person is praying and they say الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, وَقَفَ هُنَيْهَا يَنْتَظِرْ جَوَابَ رَبِّهِ لَهُ بِقَوْلِهِ حَمِدَنِي رَبِّي. Then that person should wait for a moment, stop and pause for a moment. And we're not in a hurry. Where are we going? When we are standing in front of the رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, and we are in communion with him, and we are having a conversation with him, and we are speaking to him, and he is answering us. Then when a person says, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, they should stop for a moment and wait for the answer of the Rabbil Alameen, answering us, saying, my servant has, my worshipper has praised me. And when you say Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, wait for the answer. And he says, my servant, my worshipper has, yani, extolled me. And when he says Maliki Yawmiddin, the person who is saying this should wait for a moment and wait for the answer of the Rabb, who says, Majjadani Abdi, my servant has glorified me. فيا لذة قلبه وقرة عينه وسرور نفسه بهذا الفضل العظيم النوال الكريم. So, I mean, this is, I guess the meaning of it is something like, so, oh, how sweet this is to his heart, and he's the one who comprehends this. And what coolness it is to his eyes, any joy, happiness to the eye of the believer. And what a delight it is for his soul, due to this magnificent favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and this generous gift. This is the end of what we wanted to present today. And if I could just take Imam, if I could just take, I don't know, I can't see the clock behind me, and I don't have a watch. Okay, so if I just take 1 minute, this is the end of what the Shaykh mentioned, but I want to share with you something that I was reading, some of the explanation of this hadith in different books of hadith. And in one explanation of Riyad al-Salihin, Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen is talking about the rukn, al-thani, the establishment of salat, yani in Islam. And he said that as-salat, sumiyat salat li-annaha sila bayn al-abd wa bayn Allah. This is just a statement I just want to share with you. He said that the salat, it is called salat because it is a sila. It's called salat because it's a sila. It is a connection that connects the abd to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani the one who's calling upon Allah and supplicating to him. Then he said, yani he mentioned this hadith, the hadith Qudsi that we just read, and then he said, so reflect and contemplate upon this conversation, this private conversation between the human being and between his Rabb. Yani if anybody understands what this is really entails, how important it is, how great it is that you are having a conversation with your Rabb, that you are talking to him and he is responding to you. He said, وَمَا ذَلِكَ فَالْكَثِيرَ مِنَّا فِي هَذِي الْمُنَاجَةِ مُعْرِدْ بِقَلْبِهِ. In spite of this, in spite of the reality that we are in communion with our Rabb, he said, many of us, in this private conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our hearts are turned away, are inattentive of who we're speaking to and what we're saying and this conversation that's taking place. He said, many of us, we're going right and left, even though we know that the one that we are talking to is the one who knows what's in the hearts. And this is due to our ignorance and our unmindfulness. يعني هذا من جهلنا وغفلتنا. This is due to our ignorance. Or if we know, really, then it's due to our and ghafla, we became unmindful, inattentive, unaware. We're not taking this thing serious. So what is obligatory? And we ask Allah to help us. This is the Shaykh's dua. He said, فَالْوَاجِبْ عَلَيْنَا وَنَسْأَلُ اللَّهِ يُعِينَنَا عَلَيْهِ. We ask Allah to help us with this. Is that the hearts be present when we are in the salat, so that we fulfill the obligation that is upon us and get the benefit from this salat. Because the benefits that are based upon this salat are only going to come if the salat is salatun kamila, complete and correct and proper salat. ولهذا كلنا يقرأ قول الله تعالى إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر. All of us read this saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that indeed salat prohibits a person from indecency and evil. And in spite of that, many of the people, they come and they pray and they find that their heart, in spite of the prayer, their heart doesn't yani reject evil, nor does it recognize good any more after they finish the prayer than it was when they entered the prayer. Yani meaning there's no change in the heart. And there's no benefit from that salat, which is incomplete and defective. And this salat is the greatest arkan of Islam after the shahadatain. It was made obligatory upon the Prophet ﷺ without any intercessor or anyone in between the Prophet ﷺ and Allah, any direct communion with Allah. And it was made obligatory in the highest place that any human being has reached, above the seven heavens. And it was made obligatory in the most honorable night, that is Laylatul Yani Mi'raj. And it was made obligatory as 20 prayers in one day. And these all are factors that show the great importance of the Salat. The Shaykh went on to explain in some detail, but I just want to stop here to show the importance of this prayer and the importance of Al-Fatiha and the importance of this dua. Let us try to be a little bit more conscious. And when we are performing the prayers, as we're going to pray the Isha prayer right now, let us be conscious of what we are saying in the prayers in every position, in standing, bowing, and prostration. Conscious of the Quran that we are reciting or that we are hearing recited, especially Al-Fatiha and especially this supplication that is the supplication that we are all more in need of than any other supplication. And the need, our need for it, yani Al-Hidayah, is greater than any other need that we have in this world. May Allah grant us the tawfiq, the success, to comprehend yani what the Shaykh has presented here. And may he place in our heart the desire, the irada, the will to act upon it. And may he give us the ability yani to do it. May he save us from the evil of our own selves and the evil of shaitan. And the Prophet ﷺ supplicated, teaching us to supplicate yani to ask Allah to protect us from the evil of our own selves before seeking refuge from the evil of shaitan. And it's not by accident. May Allah protect us from the evil of our own selves and the evil of shaitan. May he multiply yani our good deeds, pardon our shortcomings, elevate our station, and keep us steadfast until we return to him in a condition of being pleased with him and pleasing to him. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.